You are now listening to Capital 263. Free to say it.
Free to do it.
Hi and welcome to another edition of Mike Sit and Match with your host Lizwe Chitanganya, aka at Lizwe C on Twitter.
Yes, and welcome to Mike and Sit and Match. This is Josh, Six Legend, and we welcome you to this special edition of Mike Sit and Match, where we're going to be looking specifically at the Super Rugby weekend that's coming to you soon in Harare from the 28th of January. So yeah, tune in, listen in, rugby fanatics, we got you today.
This is all about rugby today. Yes, Josh, we have a special guest who's joined us as usual on our Friday show. And he's going to be helping us talk a bit more about the Super Rugby teams that are coming in on the 28th of January for a festive weekend at National Sports Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be very explosive. Eh? It looks like it's going to be a very great weekend. I remember the one last year. It was a very fun weekend as well.
That is true.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to this one.
Cheetahs and Blue Bulls featured at the National Sports Stadium. It was quite a great weekend. Good day, sir.
Good day. Please, thanks for having me on your show. I'm Nyashiam Chochomi, Kara Sports Business Development Director, and it's a pleasure to be on Mike's Set Match.
What is Kara Sports doing in terms of the Super Rugby Weekend?
So what we're doing is we're organizing and facilitating the Super Rugby Weekend, what we're calling the Old Mutual Super Rugby Weekend.
Okay.
And so essentially we start from the start where we engage the teams about coming to Zim, and then we organize the itinerary and we invite people to the match and, you know, just have a good day of rugby.
Okay.
So Cairo Sports is basically just trying to bring international rugby onto Zimbabwean soil.
Yeah, we do quite a diverse number of things, which I'll touch on. So I guess one of it, we're essentially a sports management company.
Okay.
So we manage sports people. So ideally we look at athletes and we guide them from their teenage years all the way to their professional.
Okay.
And we started 4 years ago. I think the first boys we helped were a few boys from PE and Churchill. And the boy who some might know well is Tapiwa Tsomondo.
Okay.
So we took Tsomondo when he was in Form 4 at PE and helped him to go to a top rugby school, Dale College in South Africa.
Okay.
And he developed and he made Western Province and that, and he did well. And now he just got signed by the Bulls. So
nice.
I think it's almost every one in three players we're helping are turning professional. So
wow, incredible record.
And yeah, and at the very least, they're playing semi-professional.
Right. Nice.
Is your focus only on rugby or you delve into other sports as well?
So we do other sports. So we've moved more. We're now strongly also in athletics. We've helped a few athletes.
Okay.
We now coach a young boy called Peter who's 9 and he's doing really well.
Okay.
He's got the fastest time in Southern Africa for his age group.
Wow. At 9 years old.
Yeah. Wow. At his age group. And so he's developing. So we're working on him throughout so that we keep developing. But there's a few other athletes we've been helping. And I don't know if you know, but sometime last year we had Stanley Madiri, who is the Great Britain spring coach.
Wow.
For Great Britain. So we invited him to come to Zim.
Came over down here. Yeah. I remember that time.
And we did a coaching clinic. And, you know, he helped a lot of our athletes. So, I mean, him and Glenn Mills, who's Usain Bolt's coach, are great buddies. They're almost like best mates.
So, okay.
So we tap into those people, come and we use them to come and help develop talent here. And there's a few athletes who he's identified here in Zim who've got a lot of potential. So we are working with to develop into professional athletes.
Wow.
Okay.
Do these youngsters apply to join Kairos, or Kairos identifies as kids through scouting programs per se? I don't know.
So we usually go and identify, but we do have people who now come to us. We run a program called Protein Athletes, Protein Program, which is kids want to go pro. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't really advertise much because we want to work with specific, but we do take on anyone really. And we've got this philosophy that anyone can become an athlete if they're coached and trained right. So we work with quite a number. Most of the kids who are the top athletes in their schools, we kind of know or work with in some way. But I guess, you know, working with doing events is another aspect we work, because it's almost like our sporting, helping athletes is a pro bono stuff.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know, doing events is probably what keeps us relevant in, also in public, and also a self-sustainable way. Because we do work with the clubs, we feed the clubs with a lot of players. There's a lot of talent, Zimbabwean talent, which people will see in the next 4 years coming through. It's ridiculous, the amount of
talented players around in this country.
Yeah, we're actually being developed. Like, you know, we have a long list of boys who we are monitoring, who are in clubs in South Africa and US and England predominantly, who we are helping, and they're coming up really well. So that's what we do. And I guess, you know, because we work with the club, so it came up in one of our meetings when we were with the teams down in South Africa. Like, oh, why didn't you come to Zim? That's when last year we had the Bulls and the Cheetahs come down.
Okay.
They had a good time, and I guess they both became Curry Cup finalists, and the Cheetahs
did.
From coming down to Zimbabwe the preseason,
Well, they have been mentioning it publicly that they're putting part of their success to the team building they had in Vic Falls. We organized a team building session.
They have been very public about that. Yeah.
So, you know, the team building, they did whitewater rafting, and it helped them a lot. And, you know, it's great to see that the team which won in Zimbabwe also won in the Curry Cup, and they won by a similar margin. In Harare, they won by 20 points. In South Africa, they won by 18.
Yeah.
And it was refed by the same ref.
Oh, is it?
Jaco Piper, and he's going to be refing again this 28th.
On the 28th, yeah.
And we're quite excited to have them down again. And, you know, now we've got the Super Rugby finalists, the Emirates Lions, also coming. And probably the most supported team in South Africa, which is the DHL Stormers. And they were
winners in the SA Conference, isn't
it? Yes, Africa One Conference winners. So, which is fantastic. You have all those. When this afternoon we got the team list for the teams coming down, and we counted just over 35 Springbok capped players.
Yeah, in the promo video it says 35 Springboks are actually going to come from those four teams.
Yeah,
and they're coming down. So to Zimbabwe.
Yeah, so it's now just slightly over with some of the ones who confirmed this out. So yeah, it's fantastic, and you know we're just trying to grow the game in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, I think your typical rugby fan will come, but we're also trying to encourage non-traditional rugby fans to come and see this spectacular and hopefully grow what can also be sports tourism in Zimbabwe.
Okay. Mr. Nyesha, this is an incredible feat that you're pulling through. I'll just quickly maybe go into the benefits for the Zimbabwean community. What do we stand to gain? I noticed last year we had coaching clinics for young players in Vic Falls, Chitungwiza, and Mabvuku, some of the areas where these pro players were holding these coaching clinics. What else is the Zimbabwean community benefiting from getting these big clubs coming and playing in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, so I think certainly inspiring young kids. We're going to have more coaching clinics. Also this year we're going to go down to Mbare and do that. And the typical, we're also going to have one at Churchill, who are the national champions, according to us, for rugby.
Okay.
In 2016, they went undefeated.
Okay.
And I think, you know, these clubs attract a lot more other clubs to come down.
Yeah.
As you can see, the Bulls and Cheetahs came, and the only reason why they're coming again is that they insisted on coming back. They kept calling us because we wanted two new teams, which were Lions and Stormers.
Yeah.
But they insisted on coming back, and it's great. Since that tour last year, we've had two other cricket clubs from South Africa to come and just have team building activities here.
Wow.
And, you know, over time, I think it's going to build to more professional teams coming and having here. It's the same with athletics. Already, Stan Madiri, some of his athletes he coaches in England, they in the summer they want to train somewhere else different. So
Zimbabwe is coming up as
one of those destinations.
Yeah, so it helps with that. But in terms of other things where it helps is you look at having the best teams in the world. So eventually, I don't know if you've seen with Super Rugby that it's been growing.
Yes,
definitely.
It's now in Japan.
It's now in Japan
and Argentina.
It's actually involving the whole Southern Hemisphere now.
Yeah. So we're trying to place Zimbabwe as that next country where it can grow in Africa.
Yeah.
And, I mean, last year we had a crowd of 19,000 come. And okay. this year, like, for example, the Bull Bulls averaged a crowd of about, I think it's about 17,000, which is the average
wow.
for Super Rugby. So
already we're beating that, yeah, that total.
And yeah. we had that was a preseason game, a game which means nothing according to most. So eventually, if we, the case we're putting towards Super Rugby is, if we then host an in-season game, like a game which means something,
yeah.
imagine much more of a crowd we could get and grow the sport. Yeah. So I think, you know, Zimbabwe is placed well to be that second African country to host Super Rugby in their aggressive expansion model.
Okay, and while we are on that, growing on Zimbabwe, are there any Zimbabwean professional teams that maybe you're looking maybe one day, and when the tournament grows, that maybe can join in these weekend tournaments, maybe to play with these Blue Bulls and the Cheetahs, maybe so that they can gain similar experience?
Yeah.
Yeshe. That's an excellent question from Josh, because some of the criticism is that we just get these teams playing by themselves and they don't mm-hmm. engage with local rugby teams. Where then do these professional or senior rugby, local rugby teams benefit besides the coaching clinics in terms of these Super Rugby teams coming up to Zimbabwe?
Yeah. So I think like last year we're going to have curtain raisers. I think last year with the girls playing curtain raisers.
Yeah.
With P.E. Churchill, Kyle. So this year we're going to have similar. Kyle will play P.E. and we're going to have Mutare. We thought Mutare gets overlooked at international tournaments, so we said they should come and play curtain raisers versus XP Horns,
okay.
unlike your traditional powerhouses. Yeah. So that's due to attract people from all corners of the nation.
Okay.
But in terms of the teams playing a Zimbabwean team, we still have a while to go there because the teams are 2 weeks away from their competition.
Their competition, yes.
So they don't want to be messing around with it. It's actually a serious game for them because, like I saw on the Bulls website, they've put already that Henry Pollard will start at fly half.
Wow.
You know,
that's the box, serious Springbox fly half right there, Henry Pollard.
Yeah. So I don't think it's, you know, if we play them, in all fairness, it'll be a 100 plus scoreline.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So these guys don't want to be playing that sort of game 2 weeks before it's competition.
It's
time to work out their combinations and get that going.
Yeah.
And two, I think initially Zimbabwe Rugby were trying to get the Sables to play Poland as a curtain raiser.
Okay.
And that, I think, whatever arrangement they had didn't work out well. But we had said, look, we're happy for them to play on that day.
There's enough room for them to play. Yeah.
And I mean, even if we look a step further back, that our best club in Zimbabwe, the Old Georgians, played this year in the Gold Cup.
They didn't do so well.
And we should indicate that Gold Cup is at least two levels or
below
three
below Super Rugby. Yeah.
And we want to say, and OGs would have predominantly the most national team players.
Yeah.
And so it's just,
it's a reflection on the quality of our teams, really.
No, that makes sense. Definitely one day we would like Zimbabwean rugby to have improved to that level as well, given that you're also training these young players through your program and they get to benefit from the coaching clinics directed by some of these teams. So maybe one day we have a crop of players that can match that level.
Yeah, and I think just for us to develop Zimbabwe rugby, last year, I don't know if you know, a month after the Super Rugby teams left, We organized a match for Pumas versus our Sables in Blueo.
Oh, that was Kairos as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was us trying to find that gap because Pumas were trying to get ready for their current season.
Yes.
And we thought it was fair enough. But I think, again, when we were playing Pumas, which is considered there as a weak team, it was 62-0 versus our national team or select side, which was... So we will keep doing those sort of ones, organizing that for Zimbabwe Rugby. We've offered our services to them regarding organizing fixtures. So we do see a need. But I think, you know, in a couple of years' time, like I'm saying, I think that the talented boys coming through will represent Zimbabwe very well.
Which leads me to my next question, Mr. Nyasha. Where is the disconnect between the quality that we see in high school rugby, and then the quality that we then see in local rugby with our national right. team. Our under-19s will be at the Junior World Cup, and they constantly feature those tournaments, those big tournaments. They're talented. Next thing, you see them popping up in Australia. Today, I just noticed Mike Williams, who was in Blaha, is now being selected for England to play in their Six Nations, to be in the Six Nations squad. So where is that disconnect? What then happens just slightly after school, after high school, in terms of the quality? Do we not have enough, say, academies that can be able to develop these talented youngsters further? Or do we not have certain contracts that we can have these boys sign when they go outside there so that they can be able, once they learn what they need to, they can come back and play for the Zimbabwe national team?
Yeah, so I think you touched on a good topic there in the sense that our development, continual development, between the years of 17 to 21 are very critical in a rugby player's development. And we're not training long enough and hard enough, and we don't have the right expertise to develop players later on.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if anything, the intensity kind of drops from high school to club.
To professional level, yeah.
And, you know, I guess because our clubs are not professional, but when we start talking about contracting players and players earning a bit of an income from rugby locally, that's when it does. So, you know, we are ones who are big on when we identify kids who are finishing high school and are doing well, we encourage them to go and play club outside the country and avail themselves to national team. That's the right now. That's the short term fix.
Okay.
But there needs to be a long term fix where our clubs need to. I think OGs have done really well.
They've done incredibly well. So
they've tried.
They've pushed the level of professionalism here a step up, which has forced the two or three other clubs who are next in line to step up a bit, which is good. But you know, we're going to need to drastically look at that as a nation and see how we can, because we'll keep losing players. And one of the reasons why we end up losing players to other countries is we're not keeping in touch with them. When players are going outside, no one is keeping a database on
what they're doing, on where they are, and etc.
Yeah. So just like yourself, if no one takes an interest in you when you're no one, and when you just start making it, then all of a sudden people start calling you. You know, that's how, fortunately, that's how we're wired as human beings. We will trust the person who believed in
us. Who was there from the get-go.
And unfortunately, 90% of the time, like we've seen with guys like Carl Goodwin in Australia or David Pocock or Mark Williams now, the people who gave him a chance are the people who he's now going to
playing for.
But as an organization ourselves, we, Kara Sports, we do have a database on players we monitor.
Okay. Do you feed that database to ZRU? Do you have a connection? Do you have a
I guess we somewhat consult informally to the ZRU.
Okay.
We've been pushing for it to be more formal. But I can say when we do talk to players for them, we tend to have a better relationship with players. I guess being a private company, you work on certain things, and so I guess we have better chances of talking to players and say, look, I think come play for Zim and this and that, and see them so that they see the benefits, and which has been worked out well for, I think, a lot of the players who came for the under 20.
Okay.
A bulk of them were strong links with, or the reason why they were where they were outside of Zim was because of Kara
Sports.
So because we've helped them get up there, they tend to take our word. So,
So maybe, what's the ultimate vision for Kara Sports, for Zimbabwean sports? Are we going to see more tournaments like this in other sports? Let's say in cricket, in football, maybe athletics competitions, something like that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, our vision is to nurture talent. And I think this all does add to nurturing talent. When kids come and watch the world's best and meet them, like last year when we had the coaching clinic at PE, some of the kids just realized they were the same size as, like, some of the props at PE realized they're the same size as Trevor Nyakani, who's a South African national player.
Yeah.
So it makes them self-believe. So I think we're going to see more in other sports. Like, I think, you know, it's obviously start with the bigger sports in Zimbabwe and naturally progress to the other ones. But, you know, the next 5 years for us, we're really excited to keep growing sports in general in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, okay, nice. So for the tournament that's coming up this weekend, where can people access tickets and the pricings and everything, all that jazz?
And are we going to be giving away tickets on Mike's certain match?
Yeah, certainly. There are 5 tickets for your show, for your listeners.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, thank you.
No worries. Thank you. And in terms of what people can get them from Spars, from this, we partnered with Spar to distribute tickets. So Spar Bridge, Spar Village, Spar in Queensdale, Brayside, Litombo, Mutare, and in Bloeyo, the hillside one, and in Central Harare, Montague, all have tickets. And you can also get them online at webticket.com.
.com.co.zw.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the arrangement? VIP tickets, how much are they?
VIP are $25, and then your general at $5, so we try to make it affordable for everyone. And okay. Then school kids are $2. So, okay. You know.
And these tickets are for the day or for the whole weekend?
For the day. So
okay. All matches are in one day on Saturday, 20th
okay.
January.
Okay. Okay.
So all matches on one day. We're going to start with PE versus Cal at 10, then Mutare versus XP Horns at 11, and then we're going to have some tag rugby, some development rugby in between.
Yeah.
And
important.
Then, we'll have the Bulls, the Vodacom Bulls take on the Emirates Lions at 1 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
And the Cheetahs versus the DHL Stormers at 3:15.
Wow.
So those are the games, and I think the Bulls and Lions game will be very exciting because they've both confirmed that they bring a full strength squad. And
wow.
Oh, nice.
So it'll be a strength on strength.
Elton Yantins
versus Andre Pollard.
Who's the better South African number 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does this mean in general for Zim Rugby? I noticed last year you took Blue Bulls, went to Victoria Falls. Mm. Are these teams also going to help with a bit of tourism and travel around the country to certain sports like Vic Falls, for example?
Yeah, so they're going to go there after the game on Sunday.
Okay.
For a few days, then they leave on Wednesday morning.
Okay.
So I think Vic Falls is a very useful thing. It helps us attract such. These players are taking a lot of photos, videos.
Yeah.
And which goes on social media and all that.
Yeah, and I think last year before they, if we talk for the Bulls, for example, in fact, none of the touring squad from the Bulls, which were 56 of them, had been to Zimbabwe.
Wow.
And this was the first time, and there was a bit of criticism online to them, like, why are you going to Zimbabwe?
Uh-huh.
And they came, they had a good time, amazing time. And several of their players have come to Zim since that.
Wow. Since that time.
With their just to visit by themselves.
With their families, which is amazing. And
this is incredible.
And for them as an organization to insist to come back again.
That speaks volumes about... Yeah. About what they, how they feel about Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and I think in the first year we covered all costs for them to experience Vic Falls and all of that.
Uh-huh.
This year around I've noticed they've booked certain activities in Vic Falls.
Okay.
Which they're paying for and going an extra mile for. So, you know, that's also kind of good that they're now we're bringing that, and we started getting, I think, Land Rover in South Africa. It's also started coming on board as a partner of ours too.
Wow. Wow. So, Old Mutual is a huge partner for Zim Rugby and
for this weekend.
Yeah.
I think Old Mutual are doing a fantastic job in developing rugby. They sponsor all the way from 6 years to under 20s. So they're pretty much bankrolling rugby in Zimbabwe and developing talent. And they are our title sponsor for this event. And their logic is this event should inspire the whole rugby fraternity for the year. And hopefully we have quality rugby being played during the year after watching.
Okay. I guess one of the major questions that people would want to hear is, are we ever going to get an official Super Rugby match in Zimbabwe anytime soon?
Yeah, I think we're in talks with the teams for that. For hopefully 2018, okay. And I think if people come out in their numbers again, it just makes a stronger case.
Yeah, it influences the teams much more.
And word spreads around, funny enough, because like, I think it was just a few days ago, we got a call from the Queensland Reds.
Wow.
They're after the videotape between Lions versus Bulls. They want to see what form the Lions are in.
Okay.
So because we're not televising it, the only way to watch the game is by coming. So we've had, you know, like other Super Rugby teams asking for that footage. So it just shows how, like, the interest. Everyone now knows that these teams are in Zimbabwe and they're here. It's been on Super Sport. It's been on all the major sports
news outlets and everything.
Yeah, worldwide. So, which is great to put them a focus on Zimbabwe.
Okay, so this is not going to be online stream, nothing, no television at all.
No.
So the best way to enjoy this weekend is to be there.
It's come, and it's actually, it's worth noting that it's actually the first time two Super Rugby matches have been played on the same day at the same venue.
Wow.
Which, so as a rugby fan, it's
once in a lifetime.
Yeah, once in a lifetime. Price for one to watch double.
Definitely.
Is the choice for National Sports Stadium based on the capacity or the teams felt the pitch there was better? We usually get Zimbabwe playing either at Prince Edward or at the police grounds there. Why did these teams choose to play at the National Sports Stadium?
Yeah, that's a good point, Liz. I think it's worth clarifying that. The reason why the teams have given us conditions for them to also come.
Okay.
And one is the pitch. It has to be flat. So actually the only field in Zimbabwe which is flat
is
the National Sports Stadium.
Wow.
The rest have got bumps and lumps in them.
Uh-huh.
And I think, too, it's also the best facility we have in Zimbabwe. And when I mean that, it's the only one which has a good ratio between crowd to ablutions.
Okay.
All our other sports club, I don't know how many people go and watch.
We do, actually.
It's not comfortable, especially for ladies. It's really not a comfortable place.
Yeah, because this is a family event. We want the kids, the moms.
That's it. So it's we talk about growing the game, and this is one way. And two, I think for we normally get a lot of corporates, and it's the best venue for corporate seating and for them to enjoy the game. But again, you know, most of the other grounds don't take more than 8,000 people.
Okay.
So again, like last year with 18,000, no other field in Zimbabwe could have taken that crowd.
None at all.
So I guess it was a bit spread out because the stadium is 60,000 seater. But, you know, it's kind of the best, and it's a bit spacious. The parking is great and the changing rooms are fantastic. There are no better changing rooms. We went around to all the sporting clubs and assessed that. It's got the best facility. So in terms of that, and, you know, the teams are used to playing in these sort of
in the best fields. They've got the best facilities, the best changing rooms and everything. And you want to offer the same standard as well.
Yeah, and, you know, like the teams, we can only surprise them because for Curry Cup, like, for example, down in Cape Town, they can sometimes play in 5,000 for Curry Cup because it's not as popular as Super Rugby.
Yet
we had 18, and, you know,
in
both teams last year were blown away. So there's no real expectations on the crowd attendance from the teams.
Okay.
Because for their preseason, they get very low numbers.
Okay.
So we can only surprise them.
We can only shock them with the high attendance. And just finally, Nyesha, are there any Zimbabwean players in these four teams that are coming up? Any names worth mentioning you might have to look at?
Yeah, no, it was close. I think Tomondo was close to being in the touring squad, but he didn't make the touring squad.
Yeah,
I just saw today on the list, but we are close to getting there. I think next year we might see a few. There's a few young kids who are doing well at these teams. Like I know Steven Basera is in the under 21s for Lions and the Cheetahs. There's Daniel Nyamugama and there's a few other who I can mention who are just close to cracking it into the. And I know Eli Sneyman who ended up playing for South Africa at the under 20 World Cup.
Okay.
He played Curry Cup for Bulls.
Wow.
And I think he just fell short again making the squad. And we got Ngoni Moyo, who was at St. George's a few years ago, finished off his high school in South Africa, and he just got a contract for under 19. So he's another one. He's a tight head prop who's coming up well.
All right. Incredible stuff. I'd say finally, but I just remembered
one more thing.
I have one more question. I think this has to be the final one. What are the prospects for the Z-Man side for 2017? Do you think we're going to get better? I know we've dropped in the levels of our performance, one level down in the B division now. Is there any hope for a resurgence of Zim rugby, Z-Man's rugby, or it's you're seeing another dark year, as Nodi Kanyangarara put it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, with the talent in Zim, you always have to be optimistic with the potential.
Yeah.
But I think what's key for the Zimbabwe Rugby Union to get right is the selection of the CEO and also the director of rugby.
Yeah.
Those positions are key. The director of rugby, if they appoint a good person, can kind of get the on-field performance changed kind of almost overnight, really.
Yeah.
Because, and then work on the things like fitness and strength later on. But tactically, we needed a lot of improvement in that. And there's a lot of talent out there. If we approach them correctly and if we show them that we've got the right structures set up, there are players out there who are keen on coming to play. So we'll see. I think it'll be interesting to see how we go this year. But, I mean, I wish them the best and I always want them to do well. But depends on what they're planning in the ZRU and stuff. And
okay. Well, thank you for joining us on Mike Set and Match, Nyasha. We'll be in touch and we'll keep hyping up.
What are you guys supporting anyway on the...
I'm a Sharks fan. I hope Sharks come next year.
Yeah.
I want to see Beast. Those are my boys.
Yeah.
I hope. But for this tournament, I'll be backing the Lions. Because I'm not a Blue Bulls fan. That's the last team I'll ever support in Swans.
I'm just going to be there watching the rugby. That's all I'm...
Nah, fair enough.
All right, thank you.
We'll have to consider the Sharks next year.
Yeah, please do. Please do. We want to see the Sharks in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
Yep. That's it for the first edition of Mike's Set and Match on a Friday.
As you heard, we've got 5 tickets to give away. So
five
lucky listeners. If you listen to this show, DM me, DM Lizwe, DM Max at a Match, and you might be in the run to win yourself a rugby ticket.
The first, say, 3-4 people to DM us are going to get tickets.
And you can only win the ticket if you listen to this show, because we're not going to tweet this.
We're not going to put this anyway.
So if you haven't listened to the show, you're not in the running for a ticket.
We'll just have 5 free tickets next Saturday, Josh.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Nyasha.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Cool.
You are now listening to Capital 263. Free to say it.
Free to do it.